Another dispatch from the frontier of climate change. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This is ClimateCast. This week, the Norwegian Polar Institute reports the largest reindeer die-off in a decade. Researchers found 200 dead reindeer on the isolated Svalbard chain of islands, and they believe climate change played a role. First, a wet winter created thick ice that plants, the main food source for reindeer, couldn't poke through. Then, temperatures hit 96 degrees last week. That ties the all-time hottest temperature on record for Norway. Arctic ecosystems are some of the hardest hit by climate change, and that's what Amy Martin sought to document in season 2 of her podcast, Threshold.
I think that everything we do with the reindeer is special and have a meaning.
I would like it to be as it was when I was a child, before the climate changes started.
Amy, why is telling stories from these remote places important?
Well, I think that getting out onto the land and meeting people where climate change is visible right in front of them, where they're experiencing it through their lived experience, it's not necessarily coming top down from an academic or an intellectual perspective, but just from, you know, I know this place, I know how it used to be, and I know that it's changing. I think those are powerful stories. And they're certainly not only happening in rural or remote places, but oftentimes in more rural areas, people are more deeply connected with the land. And so in some ways, I feel like they're kind of the canaries in the coal mine that can really witness and share the message of what they're seeing with the rest of us. And we need to listen to them.
Your first two episodes this season take place in Shishmaref, Alaska. Why did you choose to focus on this place?
Well, Shishmaref is a really interesting place to think about climate change in the Arctic, because a lot of different types of issues are coming together there. There's the most obvious issues, which are that because of loss of sea ice, this island is getting eroded away at a very rapid pace. When Arctic storms blow in, it's eating away at their coastline. It's also struggling because of loss of permafrost. The frozen soil that holds the island together is thawing, and that's affecting them. But then there's a third factor at work that a lot of people don't necessarily think about when they think about climate change, which is they're living with the legacy of colonization in Shishmaref. And that community would never have been located where it is if it hadn't been for the U.S. government and the Lutheran Church kind of insisting that they build a village there. And so I think it's those combination of factors that really make Shishmaref an important case study in how climate change affects people on the ground in the Arctic.
So we see this island, it's literally washing away, but you also touch on cultural erosion. Why is that significant in conversations about climate change?
Well, I think that one of the things that sometimes gets missed in the climate change conversation is that indigenous communities around the globe are some of the first communities to be heavily impacted by climate change in many cases. And they're often communities that have been disenfranchised or marginalized in terms of having a seat at the table to help inform policies and decisions affecting their communities and their lands. And you can really see that at work at Shishmaref because, you know, like I just said, this community wouldn't even be located in harm's way if it hadn't been for some social injustices from, you know, decades past. But then they're also having a really hard time getting their needs heard in Washington. And I think that there's a little bit of a feeling of they just move wherever they want. They just move to Fairbanks. They could move to Seattle. But for this community, that would mean massive cultural death. They're already kind of struggling to hang on to Inupiaq language in that community. And if the whole community just gets dispersed and absorbed and assimilated into larger cultures, it's really the death of the culture of this place. And that's a very big deal to people there.
What does your reporting tell you about the way people process climate change information?
Well, that's a great question. You know, one thing that was really interesting since this, we had an international focus this time is just to realize that in most parts of the world, the science of climate change isn't really greeted with the suspicion and controversy that it is here in the United States. And so I don't exactly know what that tells us about how we process information, but I think it does tell us something about what happens when there's a concerted effort to try to confuse the information that we're given. And if there's not that concerted effort, you know, it isn't political in a lot of places. You know, whether you're right or left or in the middle, in Sweden or Norway or Finland or Iceland, it's just an accepted fact. Like, of course, this science is real. Now, I mean, there's lots of controversy about what to do about it. You know, those are where the fights are happening, not about the basic science itself.
Why are you doing this kind of reporting now?
I think that climate change is kind of the master narrative of our time. I think in 100 years, we're going to look back and we're not going to necessarily remember the names of specific politicians, let alone specific laws that are being argued over. But I think that our progeny and generations to come are going to look back and be like, wow, how could they have been talking about anything other than climate change? It's the massive shaping force of the time that we live in, and it's so important. And it's also, to me, fascinating, and just there's a lot of really interesting human stories playing out within climate change storytelling, and I want to bring that forward and try to broaden the conversation.
Amy Martin, producer with the Threshold podcast, thanks so much for your perspective today.
Thanks for having me on.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.